Words tumble out of our mouths so easily, don't they, beloved? Sometimes really carelessly. We say them and we think, why did I say that? How stupid that was. Or, well, that was mean, or that was hurtful. Do you realize, beloved, that the Bible tells us that the words that we speak show what's in our heart, and that someday you and I are going to give an account before a righteous God for the words that we have spoken? Today, we're going to study that as we look at His precepts for life. Pharisees had just said some very stupid words. They accused Jesus of casting out demons by the prince of demons, by Beelzebub. And what Jesus has just told them is this: you have blasphemed against the Holy Spirit. You have taken something that God has done and you have attributed it to the devil. You can say what you want to say about the Son of Man, but I'm telling you, you cannot do that to the Spirit of God. He says in verse 31 of Matthew chapter 12, therefore I say to you, any sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven people, but blasphemy against the Spirit shall not be forgiven. Whoever speaks a word against the Son of Man, it shall be given him. But whoever speaks against the Holy Spirit shall not be forgiven him, either in this age or in the age to come. So what is the blasphemy against the Holy Spirit? Well, when you take it in the context in which it's said, it is saying, all right, what you did is from Satan and it is not from God. It is to take the work of the Holy Spirit and attribute it to the devil, to the arch enemy of God. Now, right after he says all of this, he makes a statement. Either make the tree good and its fruit good, or make the tree bad and its fruit bad. For the tree is known by its fruit. Look, don't be double-minded. Either be bad or be good. Have good fruit or have bad fruit, because a tree is known by its fruit. We're looking at you, we're listening to you, and we're hearing what you're saying, and you're telling us what kind of a tree you are. He says, you brood of vipers. This is Jesus speaking. This is Jesus, the compassionate one, that is speaking. And he's turning around and he's talking to the religious leaders of the day. And he calls them a brood of vipers. He calls them the same thing that John the Baptist called them when they came out to the region beyond the Jordan to be baptized by him, to see what was going on. And he said, you brood of vipers, you bring forth fruit in keeping with repentance. So Jesus says, you brood of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak what is good? For the mouth speaks out of that which fills the heart. Now you and I need to listen to that very carefully, beloved, because it tells us a lot about people. We listen to their words and we see what's in their heart. Others listen to us, and our words show what's in our heart. Are you always telling off-colored stories? Are you always kidding? Are you always making sexual innuendos? Then what's in your heart? Immorality is in your heart. Are you always being cutting? Are you always being cruel? Are you always being demeaning to another person? It shows what's in your heart. And so he wants us to understand this. He wants us to see that the Pharisees are going through all the motions. They have a religion, but their hearts are hearts of stone. And many, many times you will meet people that are very religious, that are there keeping the letter of the law, and yet Their hearts are uncircumcised. Their hearts are hearts of stone and not hearts of flesh. And they don't know God. And so he says, you brood of vipers, how can you, being evil, you're evil, speak what is good? For the mouth speaks out of that which fills the heart. The good man brings out of his good treasure what is good. And the evil man brings out of his evil treasure what is evil. He says, but I tell you, listen carefully, I tell you that every careless word that people speak, they shall give an accounting for it in the day of judgment. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. Why? Because remember, he says it's out of the heart that a man speaks. It reminds me of James chapter 3, where James is talking about being many teachers, not being many teachers. And then from there, he moves into the issue of the tongue. And he says this. He says in verse 8, no one can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil and full of deadly poison. With it, we bless our Lord and Father, and with it, we curse men. Now listen, men who have been made in the likeness of God. Remember what we saw in the Sermon on the Mount? Remember when he said, you're not to say to a man, Raca, you fool. You're not to say that this person has no worth or no value, because what are you doing? You're murdering him in your heart. You're murdering a man that was created in the image of God. And so he says, from the same mouth come both blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be this way. And then he asks a question. Does a fountain send out from the same opening both fresh and bitter water? In other words, can you turn on a fountain? Is it 1 minute fresh and the next minute bitter? No, it's either fresh or it's bitter. It's either fresh or bitter according to the source of the water. When the words come out of your mouth, beloved, careless words or mean words or immoral words or blasphemous words, it shows what's in your heart. He says, can a fig tree, my brethren, produce olives? Do you go to a fig tree to get olives? No, you go to a fig tree to get figs. He says, or a vine produce figs, nor can salt water produce fresh. In other words, it's the mouth that shows the source, the root of the words that are coming out of your mouth. Oh, beloved. Beloved, listen to me very, very carefully. It's your words that will condemn you in the day of judgment. It's the words that show what is in your heart. And Jesus, as he talks to the Pharisees, as he listens to them, seek to put him to death, as they listen to him, as they constantly condemn Jesus Christ, it shows what is in their heart. Now watch what he goes on to say. He says, by your words, you will be justified, and by your words, you will be condemned. So let's just stop for a moment. Let me ask you a question. What are your words saying about your heart? What are your words saying about your heart? In verse 38, it says, then some of the scribes and the Pharisees said to him, teacher, we want to see a sign from you. And he answered and said to them, an evil and adulterous generation craves for a sign, and yet no sign will be given to it but the sign of Jonah the prophet. Now, all of a sudden, they've changed the conversation. All of a sudden, they've just moved on. They're ignoring what he says. And they're saying, okay, show us a sign. Now, what has he been doing all this time? The lame are walking. The blind are seeing. The deaf can hear. Lepers have been cleansed. Men, demons have been cast out of men. People have been set free. And they want a sign. They want another sign. In other words, it's showing once again, as they say that, you can't satisfy me. You can't show me a proper sign. So it says, teacher, we want to see a sign from you. And he says, an evil, an adulterous generation craves for a sign, and yet no sign will be given it but the sign of Jonah the prophet. For just as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of a sea monster, so the Son of Man will be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. You want a sign? I'm not giving you one. Not any sign except the sign of my resurrection. It is the sign of his resurrection. Do you know that in John, what you have is you have in the Gospel of John that Jesus does many signs to show that he is the Christ, that he is the Son of God. And they ask for a sign in verse 18. And this is at the beginning of his ministry. The Jews then said to him, what sign do you show us as your authority for doing these things? What had he just done? He had just cleansed the temple. He cleanses the temple at the beginning of his ministry. He cleanses the temple again at the end of his ministry. There's two accounts of his cleansing of the temple. And Jesus answered, destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up. And the Jews said, it took 46 years to build this temple. They're talking about Herod's temple. He kept making it bigger and bigger and bigger. And will you raise it up in 3 days? But he was speaking of the temple of his body. And when he was raised from the dead, his disciples remembered that he had said this, and they believed the scripture and the word which had been spoken. The Jews then, at the beginning, had asked for a sign. And the sign that he was going to give them was the sign of his resurrection. Here, again in Matthew, they say, show me a sign. And the sign that he gives them is the sign of Jonah the prophet, which again points to the resurrection of Jesus Christ. You're going to kill me. You're going to destroy this temple. But I'm telling you something. After 3 days and three nights, you'll have the sign of Jonah the prophet, because Jonah was in the belly of a great fish for 3 days and three nights, and then the fish vomited him up on the shore, and Jonah lived. Well, there's more for us to see today, and I'll be back in just a minute.
Don't you want to see an America that honors God? What can we do about it? Well, he's told us in Deuteronomy chapter 6 that we're to invest in the next generation by diligently teaching them the Word of God.
My husband and I know that it's important that our kids be rooted and grounded in God's Word. One of the tools that we've discovered to do that was Precept Boot Camp, and that's why we sent our daughter Sydney last summer. Now Sydney is not only growing in her walk with the Lord because she's studying God's Word for herself, but she's leading others and sharing with them what she learns.
So what part can you play? Will you prayerfully consider in giving to this effort in establishing young people in the United States to know God and to follow Him in His Word and make an impact on this generation?
Jesus has made it very clear that these men are going to give an account. Each one of us is going to give an account at the day of judgment. The Pharisees are resisting who Jesus is. They're wanting another sign. So watch what he does. He brings them right back to the fact that there is a day of accounting. He says, the men of Nineveh will stand up with this generation at the judgment and will condemn it because they repented at the preaching of Jonah. And behold, something greater than Jonah is here. Now watch this phrase, something greater. He says the queen of the south will rise up with this generation at the judgment and will condemn it because she came from the ends of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon. This is the queen of Sheba. And behold, something greater than Solomon is here. He's talking about the judgment. And he's warning them that the men of Nineveh are going to rise up and the queen of the south is going to rise up and they're going to condemn this generation that saw the sign of Jonah and would not believe it. In Revelation chapter 20, we read about that judgment. It's called the Great White Throne Judgment. In verse 11, it says, "Then I saw a great white throne, and him who sat on it, from whose presence earth and heaven fled away. No place was found for them. And I saw the dead, the small and the great, standing before the throne, and the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged from the things which were written in the book," listen, "according to their deeds." Every child of God will stand at the judgment seat of Christ to give an account for the deeds done in their body, whether good or bad. But also, every lost person will stand at the great white throne judgment, and they will be separated by at least 1,000 years. And there, they will give an account to God of their deeds. And it says, "And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and Hades gave up the dead which were in them. And they were judged, every one of them, according to their deeds. Then death and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire. This is the second death, the lake of fire." It's apparent that we are going to be judged, each one of us, the saved and the lost, because God rewards righteousness. And so he's saying in that day of judgment, those people in Nineveh are going to find it more tolerable when they are cast into the lake of fire than those that were there and listened to Jesus and saw the signs that he did, because someone greater than Solomon was there. Verse 43, he says, "Now when the unclean spirit goes out of a man, it passes through waterless places seeking rest and does not find it. Then it says, I will return to the house from which I came. And when it comes, it finds it unoccupied, swept, and in order. Then it goes and takes along with it 7 other spirits more wicked than itself. And they go in and live there. And the last state of that man becomes worse than the first. That is the way it will be with this evil generation. You think you've cleaned up your act. You think you've got it all right. But listen, if you don't fill your house with the Spirit of God, then I'm telling you, your last condition will be worse than your first condition. He's giving us an insight into evil spirits, into demon activity. And he's saying just getting rid of demons is not going to do you any good, because the demons will go around in these waterless places and look for something, some place to land. And they'll come back to where they left and they find it clean and empty. Then they enter in. And then when they enter in, the second state is worse than the first. And he goes on to say in verse 46, "While he was still speaking to the crowds, behold, his mother and his brothers were standing outside, seeking to speak to him. And someone said to him, behold, your mother and your brothers are standing outside seeking to speak to you. But Jesus answered and listened carefully, the one who was telling him, and said, who is my mother and who are my brothers? And stretching out his hand toward his disciples, he said, behold, my mother and my brothers." That implies that among those disciples, there were women. "Behold my mother and behold my brothers. For whoever does the will of my Father who's in heaven, he is my brother and sister and mother. What is he saying? He's saying this. When you come to God, beloved, you have a brand new family. In other words, Jesus' mother and his sisters and his brothers had no special privileges. Rather, the one that did the will of the Father. This was the one that became part of the family of God. This is the one that became Jesus' mother. This is the one that became Jesus' sister. This is the one that became Jesus' brothers. Now, what do you learn from this passage? Well, first of all, you learn that Jesus' mother was following him. You learn also that the brothers were there. And you learn also that that they wanted access to Jesus. So you find out that Jesus had earthly brothers. Remember in Matthew, in that first chapter, it says that he did not know her until Jesus was born. And so Joseph cohabitated with Mary, and they had other children. Jesus was raised in a family, and yet God was giving him far more. Remember what he said, that if you and I are willing to leave father and mother and sister and brother, we'll have even more in the kingdom to come. He's going to reward us, and he's going to reward us with a brand new family. So, beloved, what is God's lesson for you today? What does he want you to remember as I stand here in the land of Israel, in the northern part of the country? He wants you to remember this, that you and I are accountable to him, and that it's our words that we speak that show what's in our heart, and that an evil and adulterous generation is a generation that is always seeking a sign, always wanting a miracle. But it is time to settle down. It is time to know that the greatest of signs has been given to us. And the greatest of signs is this, that Jesus died, was buried, and the third day he arose from the dead, never to die again. This is Jesus. This is the Christ. This is the Son of the living God. This is the Savior of the world. And you and I, as his disciples, are to follow him. And we are to keep our house filled with the Spirit of God. And when we do, then we're going to find out that what comes out of our mouth is the fruit of the Spirit rather than the product of the flesh. Every careless word will be given an account for in the day of judgment. So by your words, you will be justified, or by your words, you will be condemned. You might just want to ask God, God, let me hear the way I talk. Let me hear what I talk about. Let me hear what I'm saying and how I'm responding to people. And Lord, if there's anything that's displeasing to you, cleanse my heart and fill me with your Spirit so that when I see you face to face, I'll not hang my head in shame.
We are on the air because of friends who give generously to this ministry. Our financial partners at every level provide the faithful, ongoing support we need to touch thousands of lives every single day. To partner with us, visit preceptsforlife.com today. Your much-needed gift will help us reach the world with the Word of God.
Hi, I'm Kay Arthur with Precept Ministries International, and it's wonderful to have you here in our home. I wish you could be here physically, but I've got another suggestion.
why don't you go to Israel with us? Israel is my favorite thing to do. I feel like it's not a vacation, it's not a luxury, it's an investment that will absolutely change your life. And you know what? It is a blast. People say, this trip is so much fun. I learn so much, but I laugh and I share and we have time together. So many memories and such sweet fellowship. Laughter, fun, prayers, tears, sharing. It's wonderful. But the best thing is studying His Word where it happened.
The sun is setting here in Israel. It's the end of another day. And tonight I'll lay my head on my pillow. My day will be ended. And the question is, how will I have spent my day? What will be the words that have come out of my mouth? How have I treated people? Have I honored God as God? As we bring this lesson to a close, beloved, you're going to put your head on a pillow tonight too. And the Bible tells you that you are not to let the sun go down on your wrath. Have you been angry? Have you been unkind? Have you spoken careless words? Have you allowed the pressures of life, the stress of life, to conform you to an evil heart, to a mean spirit? Oh, beloved, as you go to bed tonight, make sure that everything is right between you and man and you and God. If necessary, get up and use the phone and pick it up and call whoever you spoke to carelessly and say, would you forgive me? I did not speak in right words to you today. My heart was not what it ought to be. And I want to go to bed with a clear conscience. Ask them to forgive you. Beloved, there's nothing like going to bed in peace with your fellow man and in peace with God. And if you do what's right when you lay your head on your pillow tonight, then you'll be at peace with God. These are God's precepts for life. And if you want to be cleansed so that your heart is kept pure and kept clean, then you do it with the washing of the water of God's Word. You keep studying because you know that these are His precepts for life. Remember, He talks about the bride, and He says He cleanses her with the washing of the water of His Word. Thank you so much for studying along with me. Thank you for studying the Gospel of Matthew here in the land of the book where it all happened. It's my prayer for you tonight, beloved, that you will continue to grow even as Jesus grew in stature and in wisdom and in favor with God and with man. God bless you, precious one, beloved of the Father.
Thank you for watching today. All the programs you see on Precepts for Life are available on CD and DVD. To download your free copy of the study guide, click on our website or call us today. Join us for our next program as Kay shares more Precepts for Life.